So how do you handle it? So she goes to sleep. So act like it didn't happen. What else? You eat? Cry? Oh, yeah. Crying is a real life one. You cry while you eat? Cry, eat, and then go to sleep. And wake up and act like it didn't happen. Lash out at other people. I didn't say anything. I just said, You just, when you're disappointed, it's just like, you know, and then you try to talk yourself into, I shouldn't be disappointed. I shouldn't have had the expectations. You ever try to do any of that? Okay. So, let's see. So let's talk about what happens when God is disappointed. Somebody read that scripture nice and loud for me. We're coming from Luke chapter 13, verses 69.
He also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of the vineyard, "Look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. What does it use? Why does it use up the ground?" But he answered and said to him, "Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well, but if not, after that you can cut it down."
Okay, so let's break this down. What is happening here? So first, who are the people in here? Let's name them in the story. There's a certain man. What else?
The vineyard keeper.
I'm going to say there is a vineyard to keep. Let's see. Anything else? What else is the main thing in here? The fig tree. So we have a certain man. We have a fig tree. We have a vineyard, and we have a vineyard keeper. And so what is happening? It's not bearing fruit. And with it not bearing fruit, what did the certain man say? He said, "Cut it down. Why we even still got it in the grill? It's just taking up space." And what happens after he says it's taking up space?
The keeper says, "Don't cut it down yet. Dig around it. Hold off one more year."
The vineyard keeper said, don't, wait a minute. Let's not dig it up yet. Let's give it another year. And if it doesn't bear forth fruit, then what? Then we can cut it down. Okay. So that's what was happening. We're not going to talk about what it could represent. We're going to talk about that at the end. But what's happening is we have a certain man, a fig tree, a vineyard, and a vineyard dressing. Okay. So let's look at another story. Actually, two of them, the scriptures that continue. Mark, somebody might want to find that in the Bible just in case you can't see it up there. Chapter 11, 12 through 14, and verse 20. Somebody read that one nice and loud for me. Okay, so let's talk about what's happening in this one. So who are the people in this one? Jesus, the disciples,
and the fig tree.
Fig tree, and Peter is one that talks, right? He's talking in there. So what was happening? Jesus was like, you walked in here and you was hungry, and you went to stick your hand in that bag, and there was nothing there. And what did Jesus say? What did he say to the fig tree? He said, "Let no one eat of you ever." But what else does it say? They say it wasn't fig season. He was hungry, and he went to grab off the tree, and there was no figs on it, and he cursed it. Let me explain to you why that was so. Because what happens is with fig trees, they don't produce their leaves and their fruit produce at the same time. And so if the leaves were there, there should have been some fruit there. He would not have walked up to the tree had there been no leaves there. But there were leaves that said that there should be fruit here. And so since he walked up, because the expectation is if your leaves are there, then there should be fruit. And when he got there, expecting to be nourished and fed by it, and he found that what should have been producing wasn't producing at all. Oh, y'all know we going somewhere. Those bags should have produced some food, but they didn't produce anything at all when y'all first came in. Right? And so, okay, I'm going to not get ahead of myself. Let's read the next one. So we have several different scenarios with this. Okay, you have one where there was a vine dresser in the fig tree in a certain man. This one, you have Jesus, alone walking up to it. And when he cursed it that time, it died immediately. The second time when he cursed it, it died later on. The first time it didn't die at all because he was stopped in the process of it. Okay. And so, let's talk. Let's get into this. So we just went through what happened. He cursed it and it died. What was he looking for? So we'll say he was looking for fruit. And I'll say he was looking for, and actually before we go there, I want to talk about it just a little bit more. So here we have something that's supposed to be producing fruit because it has the... When you look at it, it looks like it's supposed to be. It is saying, okay, he didn't go looking for apples because that's not what the tree was saying that it was going to bear. He went looking for what the tree said it was going to bear. The tree didn't open its mouth and say it was going to bear it. Its presence said, this is who I am and this is what you should expect from me. You should expect figs from me because I am a fig tree. But when you walk up to it and it doesn't do that, then you become disappointed. And we can think, well, disappointment shouldn't be, for us, it shouldn't be a killer. But in these cases, disappointing God, disappointing Jesus, became a killer. It became something that caused a curse and to die. So tell me, let's talk about disappointment again. What disappoints you? And how? Like, what kind of things disappoint you? So for me, when people say that they're going to do something and they don't, is that disappointing? When people say they are something and they aren't, is that disappointing? So I think Jesus had a problem with the fig tree because it said it was something and it wasn't. So I believe he was looking for fruit. Does he look for fruit from us? What kind of fruit? Good fruit. How do you get good fruit? By walking in the Spirit. I'm going to deal with that at the end because I want to talk about that. I began to read about walking in the Spirit and fruits of righteousness. So if we say you should have fruits of righteousness, what do you think we're saying? Okay. All right. So Matthew 3:8 says it like this. Do something to show you have been really given, that you have really given up sin. So fruits of righteousness is saying, I am showing you, I am living a life that shows you that I have given up sin. I'm living a life so you can see my fruits of righteousness saying that I have given up those old things. So when you can't be righteous until you repent. Meaning I've changed my mind. I've changed the way I was doing things. And so now my conversation and my actions are different because I have repented. Sometimes we can look at the word repent and be like, what does that mean? That means that there's a difference in who I was and who I am now. How disappointed are people when it comes down to church people? When you hear about a pastor, you hear about a deacon, you hear about a sister, you hear about a brother that are claiming righteousness, but then when you go to grab off their tree, there's nothing there. There's nothing there. And so a lot of people will walk away from the church because they expected a certain fruit from that church. And then when they got to that church, they found out that they opened up the leaves and there was nothing there. But they were presenting themselves as Christians, right? You have a lot of people that will present themselves as a Christian, but then when you go to open up the leaves, they are not what they said they were. Okay. Let's see. So he was looking for fruit. He was looking for the tree to do exactly what it said that it was going to do in the time that it said it was going to do it. Like, but wait a minute, it wasn't fig season. You know, so regardless of what season in your life, what should you look like? You should look right, even if it's not the season that you think somebody should be looking at you. Because we don't take on Christianity and take off Christianity depending on the season. Well, some people take it on and off and say, well, it ain't the season for me to be a Christian. Or the circumstance has caused me not to act like the fruit that I've been saying I carry. So let's go back. I want to go back. So let's talk about this one first. So we got the fig. What do y'all think this represents? Let's see if you can use your analytical mind. What could this possibly represent?
Here's what surprised me. He's come to the tree 3 years, but he's still looking for fruit. And he said for 3 years I've come seeking fruit. What kept him coming to the tree? 3 years? They would have been firewood a long time ago.
That would have been firewood a long time ago. I'm sorry. That would have been firewood a long time ago. So he came 3 years in a row looking for fruit. So could I submit to you that a certain man is God? The fig tree is us. The vine dresser is Jesus. And so God is coming. He then came over and over and over again looking for fruit from us. And right at the time that he was getting ready to get sick of us and kill us, Jesus stepped in and said, don't kill him yet. I still got some work to do in them yet. So if you come back in a year and they still haven't given anything, we'll go ahead and kill them then. Okay, somebody add. Somebody. Let's talk about it. Yeah. He said, I'm going to put some dung all around it. I'm going to dig it all up. That's the good part about it. He didn't tell God to leave and tomorrow you come back and they're going to be right. He said, give me a year to work on them. Give me a year to dig around and dig up some things that shouldn't be there. Give me a little time to finish. Now, I can also submit this to you that the 3 years, it also could have been that John the Baptist preached for 3 years before Jesus came. He was telling y'all going down. He coming, y'all going down. And at that time, instead of God, the judgment that we absolutely deserve, when he was getting ready to swing the axe, Jesus grabbed it. when he was getting ready to cut us down, Jesus grabbed the axe and said, no, not yet. I think he still grabs the axe and say, wait a minute, not yet. Hold on, I'm still digging around in the ground. I'm still digging in that dirt. I'm still trying to pull up all the stuff that they've encountered. I'm still trying to pull up all the stuff that keeps them separated from me. Wait a minute. Don't do it yet. Not getting anything so far. So let's go forward. So then he does it in the midst of people. So he comes to you, the tree, in the midst of people. Because he's expecting you, the tree, to bring forth fruit. And he don't like to be made a food out of. So when he walks up in the midst of everybody and he's expecting you to be who you said you are in the midst of people, and you don't produce. All these people are around and they watch it. And here is Jesus walking up to you saying, Alice, I'm expecting you to feed me from you. And then you don't. He's like, now I went and I put it off with grace and mercy. Now I'm coming because you have publicly showed that you have some fruit. Or at least you have said that you have fruit. And now in the midst of people, you made me look bad. Because what you said you had, you didn't have. So this last illustration is when he comes to you by himself. And he's still looking for something to eat. And this time, the curse is immediate. Disappointment is a killer. When God is expecting something from your life, however, he doesn't get what he is expecting. Here's the thing. The tree was confessing something that it didn't back up. When it had the leaves on it, it was confessing that I'm fruitful. It's confessing that I know who Jesus is. It's making the confession. But when you look at the real, the confession was false. Y'all know anybody who confesses? But then once you see their lifestyle, their confession is false. Y'all mighty quiet. Y'all okay? Y'all like, whoo, just shut up and hurry up. It's something about being false in your confession. Not bearing forth fruit in your confession. It's like, okay, so what should that look like? So we talked about what repentance was. It's like doing something to show that you have given up your sins. So you can tell that I've changed because I've given up. My conversation is different and my actions are different. So this is what it should look like. I recognize sin is evil. So I live a life that shows sin is evil. I'm sorry for my sin, so I live a life that says I'm ashamed of the things that I have done. I have turned from left, and now I am an enemy to the very appearance of evil. Not, okay, No, I've left it. I've turned from the very appearance. I'm an enemy of anything that looks like it's evil. If that isn't your life, if you aren't an enemy of evil, if it's okay for you to be around evil and do evil, then it looks like your profession is a lie. So I'm ashamed of it. So I look like my confession is not by what I say, is by what I live, that the things I've done, I'm ashamed of. But not only that, I don't even want it to look like I'm doing wrong. I don't want it to seem like I'm doing wrong, because that means my tree is barren, because I have the appearance of God. But when you go to look inside deep, you find that my appearance is false. So your fruit. says, don't be ones that paint themselves as believers, but you still have pride, covetousness, and you walk with lustful eyes. Have you changed from these things? Have you repented? Or does your life look like you've repented for knowing Jesus? Does your pride say, I've repented for being having humility? Or have you gotten to the place where you're looking and you want other people's stuff and you have gotten weary in depending on the Lord? Or has your lust said, I repent for living holy? What is your confession? We can tell your confession by the way you live. Jesus was disappointed because the things that were saying that they were his or that they were going to produce fruit for him did not. You can't say it and not live it. Many people do. But he says, when I come back, no matter how you say it, and that was one of the things that I was reading, it was just like, my confession is a saint, but my practice is a devil. So I confess that I live for the Lord, but my lifestyle doesn't back up me living for the Lord. My practices are evil. God says, I'm looking at your fruit, and I'm expecting to be fed. Are you deceiving me with your branches, or can I open up your branches and your leaves and find fruit? I think we all have to look at ourselves and say, God, where are we not producing the right fruit? Where? Where am I making a confession that you are my Lord? But if they saw me, they would not believe that my confession was real. Where am I skirting around the edges? Where is there an appearance of evil? And I'm not running from it. You know, I'm grown and I'm living my best life. It's like, but you tell people that you love me. And when they go to eat from it, some of us like fruit all year round, but there's some fruit that isn't good all year round. Right? What is some fruit that's not good all year round? Watermelon, cantaloupe, strawberries, pineapple. And so you can buy it anyway and hope that it's going to still be sweet. And so if it's not sweet, what do you do with it? It's sit in your refrigerator and die. Throw it away. So if you take a fruit before time, it's still barren. I mean, it's still not producing. It's barren. Think about it. Because some people don't believe that, oh, no. But if you do a thing before it's time and no one can glean from it, no one can eat from it, it doesn't mean that you've produced good fruit. It just means that it's still barren. You didn't produce what you were supposed to do in the time that you were supposed to do it. So what if you get a fruit later in the season? You still don't like it because it's still not giving you what you need, right? And so, but if you get it right in the thick of summer, some good watermelon, pineapple, cantaloupe, it's just like, yes. Now, what fruit is good all year round? Grapes. Bananas. Apples. Yeah. All year round. So you expect it to give you something all year round. But there are some fruits that it has to be in the moment the sun come out, we think, all right, now it's time. And he'd be like, I wonder if it, and you go get it and be like, it wasn't time yet. It wasn't time yet. Yes. You know that like some of your plants will grow if it stays sunny too long and then winter comes and your plant will die. And that means it's bloomed for that year. It's not like coming back again because some of them only do it once a year. And so in real life, if you don't produce fruit in the right time, you are still barren.
And apparently agave can like take 7 or 8 years for the fruit to ripen, for the fruit to yield easily. If you use it before then, but you don't yield the same flavor, you don't get the same texture. And I thought about the patience of the farmer and the dependence on their crop, because it's not like you're planting something else in that 7 or 8 years. Like, that's it. So if you plant it and destruction comes, you've lost all your crop for 7 or 8 years. Right. But it made me think about how we want to rush stuff, but for it to be able to be of the best use, it has to take that full 7 or 8 years. And once you disconnect it from the vine, it's done. So it's not like you can cut it and then put it somewhere else for it to continue. No, it's done.
Knowing the timing, and we talked about that in the seasons that we're in, to make sure that you are doing the right thing in the right season so that you are fruitful. I've watched people jump ship a little early, and it was just like, you're not going to be fruitful unless you go through the whole process that you need to go through in order for God to use you effectively. And so you know how it is with children, for those of us that have them. When you be trying to warn them and caution them about things in life, and they like, you don't know what you're talking about. You just trying to keep me a baby. And we like, you don't want to do that right now. It's not a good time. No, no. And then you watch them run on out there. And then you watch them run on back. And you watch them run on out there again. And you watch them run on back. And it's just like, if you would just be still and wait until you're finished ripening, it, when you leave, you'll leave and you will be fruitful. But if you leave ahead of time, your fruit will be barren.
With that fruit, not just it looks right, but then like I said, it's 7 years of it producing. Well, somebody says, well, that looks fine. I mean, oh no, it's not done yet. So having that experienced person that can say your fruit is done, and so many times people want to jump out because they look at themselves in the mirror and be like, oh yeah, I'm right, I'm good. But at what time has fruit ever picked itself? So having that vine dresser, having that person that can validate that I am right, I am ready, I am ready to be presented to the world, be presented to this, move forth in this, is an important principle, I think, to take from this as well.
The second one, the leaves are what drew him. So he saw from a distance and then went to. So, like, the deception people feel when you draw them in from a distance. You may not have walked all the way over here. And you ain't got nothing for me.
It was like cursed. Why'd you pull back far enough so we'll know that you, or motorcycles. That's another good one, that it's just like, you know, looks can be the, I was getting ready to crush up your little bike. You was going to come out to your handlebars because I was getting ready to gun it in that spot, especially if you're rushing trying to beat somebody else to the spot. I'm trying to rush into it. And so looking at it, but that means you would have to trust somebody to tell you when you're ready. Or also trust them to tell you not to move. And that can be a hard process, but most fruit don't jump off the tree and say, I'm ready anyway. There's some that fall off the tree. But they never just jump off and say, I'm done hanging here. I'm done. When they come to pick me up off the ground. And there is some fruit that does fall on the ground that still gets picked up and is used. But it's another thing to hang there and get all the nourishment that you need. And so when it is time for you to be taken off, when they go to use you for whatever origin you have been created to be used in, they find that they get satisfied from you. Or pick your fruit and then realize it's not ready. And be like, ah, yeah, that nasty. You don't taste good. You ever been in a relationship where the outside of the person looks so great, and then once you flipped open and seen the inside, you was like, I have been bamboozled and hoodwinked. Ain't nobody ever been in those relationships, right? Every person you picked was the right one, right? You know, because people be like, I need a three-piece suit and some shiny shoes and tall, dark, and handsome. Go ahead. But you think about people that you come in contact with that proclaim to be certain things, and then when you get up close, they're not what they say they are. And so God is saying to us, don't proclaim that you're something that you're not, because when people walk up on you expecting you to be something, and they find themselves disappointed because what they thought or what you claimed that you were, they found out that you weren't. It is like, don't let your confession be that you repent of having humility. So you're very prideful. So the last thing, we're almost done. Did y'all get anything from this? So Josh was talking about fruits of righteousness, Galatians 5:22-23, and then Philippians 1:11. Here, both of them talk about the fruits of the Spirit and the fruits of righteousness. But in order to produce either one of those, the Spirit has to be in you before you can walk in it. I can't produce the fruits of righteousness if the gifts of the Spirit, if the Spirit isn't in me. I cannot produce righteousness if righteousness is not in me. It's like, okay, I'm going to produce apples, but there are no apples in me. I'm going to produce love, joy, and peace, but I don't have the Spirit of God to produce love, joy, and peace. So in order to produce what God is looking for, you actually have to have that on the inside of you first. So there are some people that they say they have it, but they don't produce anything. And you ever be like, no, they got to have it. They've been coming to church for a long time. They got to have it. You ever feel that way? Like, they come every time. But God, they mean as a rattlesnake. What is happening? How can it be that you come into a place and never, or it doesn't appear that you have the fruits of that place? Somebody find the scripture for me that talks about if you come in through any other door, you are a thief and a robber. Y'all find it? John 10:1. So that means that they will enter, that they will be around, but they're just not going to come in through the door. Somebody explain that a little bit more. Think about it. So if you come in through any other door, you are a thief and a robber, which means other people are going to come in, but they're not going to come in the way us that come in through Jesus, which means that there are going to be people even in the church that's going to come in the church, but they're not going to be coming in through the door. Does that make sense? Tell me. We learn from each other. That's one of the reasons why we talk. Because although I may have a way of saying it, and somebody can read it through a different translation. If you have a different translation, that may help. Because I think we learn from each other. Mm-hmm.
One of them is coming to make
the call. Mm-hmm.
Because they have
to count. Mm-hmm.
The other
is coming to make the call. It's good. So they both go to the bank. Mm-hmm. Depending on the motives, one could actually be a robber, one could actually be a robber. See, this is why we talk, because that's a really good analogy. It was Jesus. Don't give him the credit for it. So, did you have an... So, go ahead. Go ahead, tell us about it. So some intimidation tactic. Jesus. Confession is made. Just because, okay, so I'm going to think about my garden at the house, our garden of life. After all the funerals we have these plants that everybody sent us after the passing of our loved ones. And we have some that are just holding on to their faith. And there's some plants that only have some green leaves on it and some other dead ones on it. And so it can be sometimes if we don't prune and take off those dead leaves, it's going to suck the life out of the ones that are green. So if we equate it to the church, there are some people that will come in and will give mental consent, but they will not give their heart to Jesus. And they can start poisoning or sucking the life out of the ones that are green, because the ones that are green are trying to grow. And so instead of them praying, they're going to ask you to pray. Instead of them reading their word, they want to know what does the Bible say to you. And instead of them asking the Lord for a word, they want you to prophesy and pray. And so they'll suck the life out of everybody else because they're too lazy to come in through the door. They don't want to come in through the door. I don't want to give up all the things that God is asking me to give up. I don't want to come in through the door. Well, there's going to be a day that comes that all of our fruit better be right. That when he comes expecting to be fed by us, that he gets what he is looking for. And that's all of us. Because we see the good sides of everybody at church. I don't go home with you. And we just want to believe as pastors that everybody are what they say they are. But Jesus does go home with you. And he keeps looking for the fruit. Don't let him walk up to you expecting you to be something that you are not. So as we wrap it up, somebody tell me what you've learned. There's an expectation for fruitfulness. What else?
I think really examining your heart and seeing if there's fruit there. Because if there's anything, there's going to be some righteousness, some peace, some suffering, some joy, some something. If there's nothing, then you have to examine, not being fearful that he will throw you away, but just saying, hey, did I miss something? Did I not really let him in? Did I not really repent of my sin? Because we all struggle and no one's perfect and all those things, but really examining our heart. If we have some fruit, that's great. We want more fruit. We should want more fruit. But really just looking inwardly and examining our own fruit. Because we talk about being a fruit inspector of other people, but how often do we inspect our
own? All the way to the root. Skating around the edges. You don't care what the appearance is. Well, I think about also our covenant that we have. And everybody takes it when they join the church. We read the covenant. You know, you're going to find your place. You're going to submit to the leadership. You're going to be a part of the community. And you make this confession. And then you get up. And then we look for you to actually do what you said you were going to do. And it becomes disappointing. It's like, that was a good confession, and then we tried to get close to you. No? Okay. But really, you ever, like, try? Because it's like, I thought that's what you said you wanted. Because that's what the covenant said that we were going to do. And then we try, and it doesn't work. And it's just like, Well, we're going to keep trying because we got a year, he said. He said he had a year that he was going to work on this. So we just going to keep working. So when he comes back, everything that he's looking for, he'll find. So as we look at our own lives, you know, there are some things that the Lord is absolutely saying you have to stop doing. I don't care if everybody else in your group is doing it. You can't do it. Because the appearance is evil. Oh, boy. There's some places that he is examining and saying, no, it may not be sin for nobody else, but I said you can't do it. Don't that irritate you? You'd be like, look at them. They look like they're having a grand old time. And here I am sitting over in the corner looking at everybody else like, why am I here? How is it that people can do certain things and they seem like they're absolutely fine with it, but the moment you do a little bit, you land in your bed crying? Y'all, look, many of people have laid in their bed and cried and be like, you feel bad. It's just like people lie all the time, but the moment you lie, I'm like, why do I feel so bad? He'd be like, because you lied. I was just like, is that why I feel like this? I'm sorry. Can you be let up now? Maybe that's just me. I don't even have a statement to put. I just don't get to. So now he's saying, I want to make it so that as I come to prune you and give you the right regimen for what you're supposed to be bearing, take the regimen. Everybody don't want the regimen. Everybody don't get the same dung. So you can't look over at that tree and say, well, why they get the green doo-doo and I have to get the red? Because that's the doo-doo you need to grow. I want the one that don't smell so bad. And he's like, I know what you need to grow. And these are the people that you need to help you grow. So let us pray. God, we thank you even now that you've given us time. Time to get ourselves right. Time to allow you to work on us. Help us not to resist your working. Help us not to resist your hand as it's moving and it's pruning and it's digging up things. God, I thank you that you even desire to continue to work with us. At any time, you could have told the master, it's okay, go ahead, they won't ever change. Oh, God, but we're open to your correction. We're open to your reproof. We're open to your change. God, we want to be pleasing to you that when you walk up to us, you get exactly what you're looking for. God, in the places that we haven't repented, we ask that you would forgive us even now. Holy Spirit, we will not resist your prompting. When you say, no, we cannot go that way, we will listen and obey. We thank you, oh God, for what you're doing. We thank you for making our hearts even soft now. God, open up our ears that we would hear you speak directly to us. God, we want to be changed. We don't want it to look like our confession is a lie. God, for the people that we may have caused to stumble by what we have done or how we have lived, God, please give us another chance to do it right. We don't want people to stumble and think that they were supposed to feed off of us, and when they got to us, they didn't get what they needed. Oh, God, make us sensitive to those that are around us that are watching the fruit that we bear. God, we thank you even now for what you're doing and how you're doing it. In Jesus' name, amen. So, something y'all can chew on for a while. We'll be starting the book study on March 15th. It's called, the first book, it's called Why Her, and the study guide is Rachel and Leah. So we will be discussing Rachel and Leah in how comparison kills. So please govern yourself. That's on a Friday is when we start, March 15th.
God, we thank you for a place where you are pruning our trees, oh God, to bring forth good fruit. God, we thank you for another opportunity, oh God, to learn of your word, to see you and to dive deeper. God, I thank you that every word that was taught tonight, oh God, would take root, oh God, and grow. Oh God, that it would fall on fruitful ground, oh God, and bring forth fruit in your time, in your season, oh God. God, I thank you that you look at us and say we are good. That there is still hope for us, oh God. That you still have need of us, oh God. And we don't take that for granted. God, we just thank you for allowing us to come together again, unified, oh God. Bless those who were not able to be here. Oh God, bless the offering that is taken up tonight, oh God. That you would use it for the upbuilding of your kingdom, oh God, that you would bring prosperity and growth in the process. God, we thank you and praise you that we will go home and find everything still good, oh God. In Jesus' name, amen.